then we really get up in trouble.
I'm glad you feel sure it's convenient, because if my team has an attorney from the judiciary, maybe an attorney might be going into legislature, and become a part of the commission like this, maybe never get into legislature, and somebody is.
I think you always have a part of the
country, and I think we should be able to.
Well, I don't know. I think that's in the act, and the one I talked about, that's the basic act.
Well, of course, the question is then, where do you, okay, yeah, do we want to put the, not say ugly, because if we want to get online by 1 January 74, do we want to make the fair practices division subject to the Administrative Procedure Act? I suspect we do,
yeah.
But that calls for all the public hearings, and that would solve problems, clearly. If you make it subject to 183, then you're always entitled to that, if you recommend that count, before a hearing is.
I think we've wanted that, and I think we've wanted full hearings. I don't think anybody, the whole process here is more for publicity than anything else to keep people in line.
Well, then I think the answer is the question that Senator Hurd brings up is that I think perhaps we ought to say that
some of
the activities of the commission and division are subject to everyone.
That would be in lieu of or in addition to covered by the APA.
Well, I think we're going to be covered by the APA unless we specifically say the contrary. It's the Secretary of State covered by the APA, so I don't think we need to say
okay.
It. As long as we all understand that in fact we are covered by the APA.
Do we have to have preserved such reports on page 9, number 6? Aren't any steps in the archives anyway?
Well, where's it?
Page 9, number 6.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea to
say it.
1-7 is the one I have a little trouble with. Prepare publicly from time to time, prepare publicly on summaries of the statements received. Mr. Chairman, you had direct and very distasteful experience. I'd like to leave that out now for the simple reason that I hope we can sometimes come up with some sort of a, and that in turn, we've got 9, provides a live public dissemination of summaries and reports. I'm worried that summary sometimes is misleading and inaccurate. And I don't know how do you summarize, for instance, keep in mind what all we're going to report. How do you summarize my income? Do you shorten it? And only pick out those things that look peculiar or look interesting or have a good sound to them? How do you summarize? I list 5 sources of income. How do you summarize that? You list all 5. It seems to me that you either publish all of it or we publish none of it for fear that when we start summarizing, I think we're falling in the trap to make some very subtle judgments on what's important in a given candidate or a public official statement and what isn't important.
I feel the same way.
I don't get it.
And I think if these things are available, I don't think it does any good to go spend $10,000 to get something printed up in 10,000 copies and then nobody looks at it. If anybody that's interested can get one just like they can get to the media. But the public
goes on to the public, though. Admittedly, there are occasionally misleading.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about not publishing. We have stated that. They will be.
Of course, the real key in the 15 minutes is the total amount of your campaign. what we're going to find, what you and I are going to find. Now, Helen and Sam here are going to summarize what you're going to find. We learned God. How do you distill them? It seems that what I'm arguing for is you're putting the commission as a division with no guidelines of summarizing a statement that is kind of a summary of the
book. I would wonder if they can back it up and summarize.
Well, I would rather have them, you know, if the job we're going to do is have them publish it, I'd rather have them publish the whole thing, like Wessel did. He didn't attempt to pick out, I sent him my biography thinking he could pick out all the things he thought he published the whole, which is flattering, but he must have made a conscious decision. He was not going to summarize the individual ways that he got. So that's a tremendous question.
If you get this thing from the beginning, that what would be done is similar to the thing we have forms provided, for example, or you know, the candidates, and it would be what would be in fact made available, would be what was listed.
Well, then that is back to the full report.
Well, we've got that in the file, to make the report and statement file with an available public inspection.
To make the report and statement file.
Okay, yeah. That covers it. But to say to public widely is just, we're having a little summary. They've actually got another bill up here. Isn't that the one? Well, I think we have it in the But just talking about the, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands that we public that are all useless. You get them. You're just starting to get them. Wait, you're here for a couple of years and finally get on the name anyway.
Well, one of the things I would intend to expect the commission might do, for instance, it might very well collate judicial positions in a group, legislative positions in a group, and make them available at the actual cost in citizen
action.
But there's a full thing, photocopy,
could be
not requiring some Secretary of State or some ethics commission to make a judgment on what the summary and what is.
If we bring the CNE under this commission, which is what we're talking about, it can all be in one book. And I suppose we want to change this thing.
It just seems to me that summary does not prove to be an effective tool to inform the public.
Even if you get back to CNE, it only takes those over 50 bucks.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's fine. And then if they only have, they don't put all of those in, it didn't work. Like in the $16,000 with them. We have about $8 million, and it's all said and done, left over. And that means try to buy the hospital, try to buy all of these programs, and there's about $30 million worth of spending down there. $3 million for Senate Bill 100.
Mr. Chairman, I interrupt and ask, I think it's extremely important that the two members of the Ways and Means that are on this committee pass immediately that an appropriate budgetary fiscal officer be assigned to us, and that we put together our package to present, because we're sure spending a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
If this isn't bought by Ways and Means, we spend an awful lot of time.
Yeah. And I'm afraid you have the newspapers up against your life.
Yeah, you
may
have
to make it to the house.
If we, for instance, could earmark and increase costs at $25 and take that $15 and put it into funding those four functions, the Secretary of State, I'll bet we could, you know, it still wouldn't balance out, but whatever.
Well,
the Secretary
of State's budget has gone to the House and the up, but I just can hold that side of the I forgot he'd already let it out.
Well,
we catch it on the way back, but I did then go through the effort to find out under our other arrangement, where we were going to run everything through the Secretary of State's office, how much of it was costing. And he thought that he could get by through his office would be grade three or something like that, but which would amount to about $35,000 by end. But you see, that isn't having a commission or any of that, but that was just running into the commission help to over there, which would help the CME, because he was putting that department, and he said maybe brought that up to where it was worth putting the book out, otherwise he won't put the book out. we only gave him one more over there, but he's just got kind of...
Well, we need
off.
A fiscal analyst to do the things you're talking about. I put it together and plan for the chairman of the meeting.
When I talk to the Secretary of State, not about taking the vote, we have to suggest that it might be easier for himself, because I'm putting it at his file, that there was a way that this is a service charge, or that there is a late
charge now. I don't know if they have requested it. I really think it's going to be hard to prove. I think public censure is enough, and if you have a man violating the law, it's covered by other law, which you have prosecution.
Right.
They have them. So I don't think that you really need to make the other, you're going to destroy a politician if he censures, certainly not going to get elected.
So I could see lengthy litigation. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to determine how much an individual benefited by it so that you can figure out what three times that amount is. And that really doesn't benefit the state of Oregon unless we go on the idea we're going to have self-funding of this. And that's how, but that's
my opinion. I'm not letting each section take care of its own funding. Then you retain Section 20 of the Class A misdemeanor?
Well, I have mixed emotions about that, but they did add
intentionally. That makes it almost impossible to convict on.
Well, I'm ambivalent on that one. The argument on one side is the possible conviction, but due to the Disclosure Act, the argument on the other side is if you don't put some teeth into it, people are more inclined to disregard it. We'd have things in section before that, naturally. But.
What was this, Class C? In this
Class A.
Oh, okay, because that's what it is in the other law. Well, no, there's one Class A, one Class B, and one Class C.
So the provisions that they're talking about, and I've now changed them in my own mind, at least they're talking about, are any public official that does business with a state, in effect, unless it's been awarded by contract, whether it's time,
No, that's one, misuse of confidential information.
Any public, well, so really now it's three, which is meaning financial benefits, four, setting assignments by legislative employees, five, six conflict, five is service public official having responsibility for regulation of the business with which he is associated, six is the doing business with the state, and then eight, by my, I'm sorry to use mine, is failure to file the statement of economic interest becomes a misdemeanor, and 10, updated statement. So really what you have is a crime to fail to file the statement or an update statement, but the main thing to do is just take that out of it. We have the authority that if you didn't file it, you can't take office or exercise.
You have that already under CME, so you put it under the same clause while you've got it.
But make it time to use an official position to obtain financial gain for himself. It amounts to the old three, the old seven, the old eight. Okay, let me do that.
Okay, then Section 22 you have that you don't limit the other penalties to censure or discipline a member. And
Section 23, I asked Chuck Hamnick to report back. Lance, when you heard from Chuck, he was going to report back on Section 23. In your amendments, you added after exhausting all other remedies provided by law. I appreciate that, but I don't know what the other remedies provided by law are. I think Chuck is going to look into it. I just think the latest state circuit court state that jurisdiction is exempt from court provision of the act. Fine, I'm taking any attention to it. I don't know why yet. What hurdles would he have to exhaust before he. Well, normally you have to exhaust administrative remedies before the suit. But usually you establish administrative remedies. And unless we want to make it a requirement that he must first report it to the Secretary of State or to the Ethics Committee before he can give them money.
I think you'd want that too, because you could just have every Tom, Dick, and Harry get mad at anybody going right before that.
That's what we mean. Let's say it.
You can have plain old harassment.
Okay. We might want
to. I could easily see that come from somebody that wanted a bill through that you were opposed to. And,
okay.
A bunch of fraternities working for him, and just being just openly harassing
you. Well, the only thing is.
They don't get the injunction, just the idea that they're district neutrality.
Okay, so we've pretty well delineated. The commission is a disclosure committee. Now, it doesn't have the power to investigate, which is different. Well, Okay, now those are the two. Are there any other requirements for the commission? Exemptions to enforce provision of that.
Well, they have three duties. One, to report, two, investigate, three, to report to the authority. So you file an injunction and say, Senator X did not report.
If you were really concerned, your thing to do would be to not requiring the report, but keep him from holding office for being paid. That's in here too, if that's okay. That's your real remedy. I can't see anybody filing a brief.
Well, we've not filed a
well, yes, but as far as I'm concerned, we don't want that.
No, I was saying,
yeah, we don't want to, if it's a crime that's committed, we don't want to have to go through some administrative agency before you go to the
district
attorney.
I agree,
but
I was suggesting that when we were.
But if you have a crime, you don't even have to go through this.
There's a problem, Chairman. I'd be willing to go either way. If we want to drive them, I agree that we want some use to ethics or the fair practice.
I think this is what they were after when they put all other means exhausted. Maybe it should be after appearing before the commission together. Then what about the thing in the court? What about saying that? Well, you set up the procedure that they go through.
Well, the only part of it, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have to go after the individual. We've got to sanction against the individual. Useless requirement to say or suggest that some citizen should sue you before enjoining you to comply with the act. The remedy is to prevent you from taking office. That's a clearer, cleaner remedy than suing you in injunction in form.
Then you don't need what's wrong.
The real target is to go after the ethics division or the fair faculty division to make them investigate or withhold the salary or strike the name off the ballot or some of the other items.
And why doesn't it say that?
If the ethics or the fair practices division has failed to require a financial statement, I don't think that a citizen ought to be required to go tell them, hey, you filed, failed to file. Now, file. You can do that if you want, but I need to sue. Not that a citizen is going to run out.
Severability clause, nearly looking in section 25, which is a fuzzy one, second two on more than one occasion in the past.
Yes, but I think if we suspected any part of this is unconstitutional, we fix it. But I've lost most of my freedom, or I've lost most of my argument, I'm not going to fight it out. Unfortunately, 26, and we put the one of those that are doing, I can take out.
25. Section 25, Senator Richardson suggested taking out.
I'll leave 25, and 26 is the one I
think. Oh. I disagree with you.
I suggested that that might be one of those substituting them.
It's different where you live here.
I agree.
But where we come up from home, the most valuable asset I have is my life, too.
There's very little difference whether you live down there or up here.
Yeah, but you have a small. But you're
still close to Mother's Day. You don't dare expect
that. Yeah, but it's easier for you to phone and talk to them.
Yeah.
And this thing, well, we're not. We just get, when they make a long distance call, if you can handle it. It saves me, since I've had her there.
Well,
no comparison between our lives.
The best example I've seen of that is Ruff Raymond's white flag, both of them could sign. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
They'd have 6 months with nothing but in-house stuff, making the forms, getting the Administrative Procedure Act complied with, getting the rules. 6 months with nobody handling, nobody filing anything. Then January 1, all of us incumbents would have to file on or before January 1. And what I'm saying is the act is not effective for filing purposes until January 1, 1974.
Yeah, the update. Did we strike the severability clause or not?
No,
Section 25. Okay. All right. Well, I would recommend that we get rid. You have 2799 we can send out tonight.
Let's
the other thing is necessary. I'm not going to be able to get back to you by what would be less than two working days for Wednesday. Probably better off to leave it over to a joint meeting on Monday and just give them all a clean bill and make them both sides go over the bill and put it out Monday night. Because I'm going to have to put in those other three bills and find a way to write the commission and arrange it so that if those other bills don't pass, we still get the vision set up and then get the fiscal officers, fiscal for an estimate for you. So, finally, it would not be at all advisable to come back Wednesday. Fine, you just go ahead and run this. I think it's probably take about 3 or 4 hours of meeting because I'm not at all You have in front of you a, you should have on that paper, what it does is it takes you right back to the printed bill as we got the first time and takes out those clauses which now Kathleen put in to make it conform to those other bills. Now they're all on their own.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I had a call today from a Jim Brown, who's the district attorney for Beth County. And he had a problem. And this problem comes out of he wants to change the criminal law procedure dealing with privileges between spouses. The first question is whether it's germane, but this happens to be one of the vehicles being picked on to me by Norm Pollack because the Senate Judiciary Committee has killed the bill and the House doesn't want it. He raises an interesting aspect, and the question I'd ask is if it's germane, I'd like to bring it up to the committee.
Go ahead. It deals with this section on
the well, it does deal with 44040, and that's why I raised the question of germane, because I think the draft is in fact not germane, but it raises the issue between husband and wife at the present time. It relates back to the
pocket of worms and who can exercise the privilege and who can't. And you know, usually you say, well, attorneys have the privilege, therefore auto mechanics don't have it. It's not really the attorney that has the privilege, it's the attorney's client that has the privilege. The same is true in a husband and wife situation. Either spouse can exercise a veto. In other words, basically the defendant, the party, exercise. The example he gave is where a stepfather shot a 27-year-old retarded stepson in the presence of the wife, and the wife wanted to testify that the marriage was at an end, and the husband objected, therefore no testimony, and apparently the guy got off. The point being, the reason for the husband-wife privilege is the sanctity of the marriage. But if one of the spouses says, maybe there ain't none of that stuff left, I want to testify, then maybe they ought to. And that's the issue that he's raising by saying, in effect, changing the criminal aspect and saying that either spouse can testify. Now, the husband says, I don't want to testify because you were the only person. And the wife says, no, sir. Now, the question I'm raising is that he suggested that we do it for this bill, and I have two questions. One, do we want to do it, which is the overall philosophy? And two, if we do, is it the appropriate bill?
And if we do, stop the whole bill.
That's number three.
Yeah. And that's number three.
So do what?
Yeah.
Well, I just see 1, 2, 3, 4 names.
Yeah, and every one of them would be.
Forget I brought up. All I have to do is raise that. Well, yeah. Well, I take it the sense of the committee is not good.
What about one of the other ones? We had another privilege bill. Didn't you say anything about
it? Well, really, it ought to be in the criminal procedure. Apparently, he raised the issue before that.
Didn't we table one of these to deal with? Yes, we did. That was it was in the same deal. We dealt with the.
Well, okay, we can untable that one then.
Yeah, if we got one here. I think we had three of them.
Really,
we
need to be dealing with
this statute. No, what we did was
4404.
We struck two additions from one of the bills. And I'm not sure whether we've got one of the table bills or not.
Table
3002, which was an addition.
It deals with 441055.
Is that possible?
I don't know. This was all 2104. Mr. Chairman, I've done my duty. I've raised the committee. I'm inclined to agree with Senator Hurd that Kingsley Campbell was the sanctity of the marriage, having had experience of that with at least one of the sponsors. In no way get the House to concur in any kind of amendment like that. So,
well, let's see this one again. Yeah, we just take out that other.
May 14th,
to House Bill 2799. All those in favor signify by
saying aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Now Senator Hurd moves that we send out House Bill 2799 to the floor of the Senate where they do pass recommendations.
Mr. Chairman, what does the amendment do?
People
have the ability of dropping an amendment into the bill, but
remember
I
remember the part where he put in, they put down there that in case these other two happen,
put
it back in its original form.
All right.
So it'll take it out because it raises the question.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. All those in favor will answer aye if their name is called, opposed, no.
Okay.
Heard
a hard time?
Heard.
Mr. Carson.
Okay.
And who will carry that?
Who would like to carry that? Tom, you haven't carried one in a long time on the floor. My God, the lecture. All you've had is those ag bills. We're getting tired of hearing about the meat.
Mr. Chairman Ingalls, I think the major prevailing interest was I spoke to Chairman Ripper, and it's a continuing saga, lines 29 through 32 on page 4, which starts out representing the news media. In a nutshell, my original concern is I don't think it ought to be in there. But I've lost that battle, and I'm willing to back off for what I'd call the Lane County feeling that if we fail to put it in there, we're somehow indicating to those that we don't encourage this kind of thing. And I just would soon leave it the way it is. In other words, I don't intend to interfere with Lane County's relationship or anything like that. But by the House amendments, which put in shall in two places, not one place, but two places, you have the rather weird effect of, in my view, of having the news media, rather than the legislature, or the public body, determining what is or is not an executive meeting. And what I mean by that is that when you say the news media shall be allowed, okay, if we stop right there, then, of course, no agreement or whatever. So you have to read on and say, executive sessions under such conditions governing the disclosure of information shall be agreed upon by the governing body. Okay, I don't know of any place else in statute, and I've really, oddly enough, tried to look to find any place where the legislature is required two independent bodies, newspaper being an independent body, and I'd like to think that the sovereign city of Salem or Eugene is independent. State of Oregon, by legislation, is mandating that they agree to a contract or an agreement. And I know of no place that we do that. I think that the public would be well served, that the media would be well served, that we'd satisfy the Lane County concern if we took out shall in line 29 and line 31 and ensued may. And that's the only objection I have, and I would then vote to concur in the balance of the House amendments and repass the bill. How do you mean you haven't got a bill?
Well,
well, this was never intended, in my view, to force the news media in to all executive sessions. What are the terms you're thinking they're going to agree on? That they won't print it? Which then means that the newspaper man is the one determines what the public ought to know, and not the governing body and not the legislature. And I think that I don't think the news media ought to determine what the public ought to know.
They would go into the meeting with the understanding that this should not be talked about at the moment, that this could be talked about at the moment. It's a matter of honor, really. It's a matter of backgrounding, a matter that the news media cannot tell the public the story adequately without this background. The moment for telling the story may not be now.
Well, I can appreciate that, Mr. Chairman, and I think the problem is I've never really understood politicians who ask to go off the record to explain something, or political meetings, which I understand in the Washington level, are very frequent. And perhaps that's why I'm a little more concerned, where you have backgrounding sessions, which in my view is telling the press something that you don't want the press to tell the public.
Very, very simple. We know that General Eisenhower is going to die. We get the story ahead of time, we get it all in time, so when he dies, there's the story all ready to go. We know all the background, we have the history, we know everything about it. This is more or less the same situation. It may be something that is going to happen in the future that the executive station wants to plan for, wants to get ready for. The newspaper has the background. They are not releasing it because it would not be in the public interest.
Who determines
to release it at that time?
Who determines that?
It's determined by agreement between the press and the
public body. What if they say, we don't want you ever to print anything?
All right, then that guy excuses himself and walks out.
Well, how does that say? It says here they shall agree.
All right, I'm willing to change that second shot somewhere.
Well, all right, that problem is, if they don't agree, and I think that what the effect of this is, if you turn over the question of when is an executive session really an executive session to the news media, you do two things. One, you make them, the news media, the determining factor of what is an executive session. If that's the case, then I think we ought to do away with all the exemptions.
We have said in the bill what is an executive session.
Yes, but if you put them in and they come in and they say one of the terms is, if you touch one item that you're going to talk about building a general hospital, in my view, and I'm not maligning the principles, in my view, if you touch one thing area, I think the public ought to know and I'm going to print it.
All right, then they don't discuss it much.
Well, you can't get around it that way because it says you shall be allowed to attend the executive session.
If the press and the governing body cannot come to an agreement about what is to be printed, and the reporter will leave the section right when he thinks to be printed without the background of the governing body.
it may be worse. But on the other hand, you're having the elected official and the legislature determine what executive sessions are and what aren't, rather than the news press.
No, I think you're right. Executive session is determined by what's in the law. The only thing we're quarreling about, I think, is I say the reporter shall be allowed to go to the meeting. And then after he gets to the meeting, he and the chairman sit down and say, okay, now this we shouldn't talk about today.
Okay, well, let me ask this. Let me phrase it this way. What if we wrote it, and I'm not suggesting, but what if we wrote it to the fact that he may be admitted, but cannot divulge any information that comes out of the executive session? If I were a newsman, I would never agree to that.
I would agree.
But that's the effect. As I read what you're saying, is that that's
timing.
Well, there are some things I think, Mr. Chairman, that relate that are here that never should come out.
That's right, and there are some things that we have said that never will come out.
Well, that's only if the newsman agrees that they'll never come out.
Well, if he does not agree, then he won't say what to
say. What about the line, something along the line, moving your representative will be accused and speaking cannot be something?
How about that?
Well, that's what I think it says now.
I don't think so.
Just to clarify.
Well, okay.
You think about that one then?
I agree too quickly. Some. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it.
You got something?
Good
enough. You got the mayor of Klamath Falls. And he is determined to go his route from hell or high water, then he will put up conditions to which the newsman can't agree.
That's clearly there. On the other hand, you may have an elected body. You know, if we can assume ill of a mayor of Santa Falls, we can assume ill of a newsman. And you'd have the newsman saying, I'm going to print. I think this is so important to the community that I don't care whether it's a tissue committee or anything else. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to print whatever you guys say. The point that we're arguing about, Mr. Chairman, is the areas where they do not agree, and that's the very nub of what our disagreement is. And that's where Senator Hurd's motion goes to the issue. As far as I'm concerned, if the city council and a local newspaper man can work out an agreement, that's their business, and I don't intend to interfere on it. But on the other hand, I hate to mandate that every time we've gone to all the trouble of having the executive session for a variety of reasons, I suspect, and then I think we undo it if we force them to agree. And I would be surprised that.
Okay, then. You want to put
at the end of some form, a news media representative will be accused and agreement cannot be made on terms of the.
And we could change this to 31 to a may then, although, and that's, I won't fight for that one, you said what I want to say, but they shall be allowed to attend. Under such conditions governing disclosure of information as may be agreed upon, and I think that's...
I think that negates the whole thing. Because there are some elected officials or agency people who would just not allow it.
Well, let's come on, Mr. Chairman, then I would suggest we go back through and take out every one of the exemptions. I don't... If the people are entitled to know, the people are entitled to know. And I don't like the truth being screened through an agreement with the press or with the news media.
Jordan's question is on page 4, line
29 to 32. Why don't we make a shell for May?
Well, I'm
shell or May, the case may be.
Yeah.
I suppose
on line 32, the end of the sentence there, a new sentence which would simply say, a news media representative would be accused of agreement to not be discussed.
I
would mind that if we put on another sentence, and the newsman is free to write where he wants to.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
if he's outside the
meeting,
he'd be able to.
If he's not agreed, this is the way it seems to me, that if the newsman right now, without the shield bill, if somebody says, now you got to get out of here, he could be free to write that we were hustled out of the meeting room and they locked themselves in the cloakroom. You know, they do it now.
He's free to go to all eight members of that committee in the executive session and say,
what'd you do?
What'd you do?
Well, I would. No, Sharon, I realize it. My problem is I think we're straining over Nan. I think it's going to work.
I don't think so. I don't think you realize that most newspaper people are honorable.
And
if they,
Mr. Chairman, I don't
they
think
won't attend the second meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think you realize that I think most public officials are honorable, and I kind of resent the idea that all newspaper men have the public interest at heart and all politicians do not. And that seems to be implicit in this discussion.
I apologize if that. What do you think I said earlier is public officials? Because I think the vast majority are long suffering men.
Well, I know you do, and I'm just going for play. Mr. Chairman, one alternative would be this. I think that if I were to read the recent report in the newspaper, the decision of the Supreme Court has refused to go any further than of the United States, and it's apparently picking the feathers off the press or off the shield of the press. I think one thing we might do is, you're aware of the recommendation I had to incorporate another bill, a continuing study of this area for leaks, voids, whatever the case may be. I'd really recommend that we put in Senator Hurd's clear intent of what the legislature encouraged. And if it's abused, then I can assure you I will support in one form or another moving in your direction. If a city council or planning commission or whatever it is abuses the exceptions we've given it, I would concur in your judgment. But I really don't think it'll work that way. I think the power of the press will encourage most school districts, city councils, and so on to work the terms with the press. And I agree with you that most press is honorable and would work to those terms. They do it now, and I think they would continue.
All right, we're going to get into that.
I don't want to do damage to that. I never have. That's their business, whether they let me.
Let me throw this out. Right. Would it make you feel better? We know we're going to get an inspection here. If they put an emergency clause on, so that it would have a good 67 months to operate, and then the new government there are used to do it, then we can probably work there.
I think that's a good idea. If you reverse the thing and leave it the way it is, and put the emergency clause on it, and then the inspection doesn't work.
No, I think it's a better way to set the first.
I thought you were going to be on my side.
Well, I
thought we had a 2x2 agreement come to an agreement. What if we take that Xiaomi out, the second Xiaomi, without helping us in the master statement?
Well, I think that removes this.
I had an amendment to that effect. It would just read the governing disclosure of information when agreed to by the governing body. Period. Representatives of news media shall be allowed to attend executive sessions in such conditions governing the disclosure of information when agreed to by the governing body.
Okay.
Well, I really hate to agree because I think that moves in a particularly if you're going to agree to it, I'm going to try awful hard.
I
think that.
Yeah,
you want to see how I'm going to get that kind of thing? Okay.
If you like, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, I sense that. I think that there is perhaps pathology, and representatives of news media shall be allowed to attend executive sessions. Okay, under such conditions, that means they ought to be in there, and it's implicit that conditions will be agreed upon. What happens if what's the language? When
agreed to by the governing body. That probably doesn't read right.
Yeah,
that under such conditions. Probably just got all that out and just said when shall be allowed to attend executive sessions when agreed to by the governing body.
No, I can't buy that.
You won't buy that.
You got to have conditions?
Well, I'm putting in the condition for the sake of getting the bill through the Senate.
Yeah, but two shalls are.
No, I'll take that one.
Doesn't read right then. Under such conditions, governing disclosure information probably should be as agreed to by the governing body.
Present law, Mr. Chairman, they have no authority to be admitted.
Right.
Okay. So if we take a step forward and say, in effect, that we're declaring from a legislative standpoint that they may or shall be admitted when they agree, I think we're taking a step forward from where we are today. And I agree that we don't go as far as you'd like to go, but I think it's improved the situation that we are in today, and I don't see how that could. I think it's more favorable the direction you're moving than the status quo.
Where do you put that
when? Well, take out as shall be and put in when, but I'm not sure it reads right.
Representatives of news media shall be allowed to attend executive sessions under such conditions governing the disclosure of information when agreed to by the governing body of representatives of news media.
No, I put a period after body, but. I'm not sure it reads right by just putting when in there. Because of the phrase under such conditions.
Yeah,
I don't think you're helping the situation at all on something like that, because it's almost keeps the status quo. And the intent of this bill is to say that the news media shall be allowed to attend governing sessions.
The intent of the House amendment do precisely that. The intent of the Senate amendments do not, Mr. Chairman.
But in any event, the city does not, or the local government, governing body does not have to agree to the condition, which affects there'd be no attendance.
What happened?
If the governing body said, we can't agree to the condition, so you're not going to attend.
Yeah.
Right. The key to the whole thing is still agreement by the governing body.
I agree.
Either unilaterally or jointly with the news media.
But under your suggestion, the agenda would be known by the reporter, because if he didn't agree to keep something quiet, he
didn't
know what we were going to talk about.
Oh, I think it didn't have to be another part of the bill. You have to declare what you're going to go into ahead of time.
We have a public vote.
Oh, yeah, and the final determination has to be on the
okay. If we put the emergency clause on it. And if you can write that the way George has it, make it come out right, but I don't want to put a period at the end of the governing body.
I won't fight that, Mr. Chairman, because it has to be agreed to, and in effect, I think it's somewhat redundant, as a matter of fact. But I have no...
As may be agreed
to. As may be agreed to.
Rather than shall?
Yeah.
As may be agreed.
Still have a problem of whether shall means they. What I'm getting at is it's the vulnerability that we can't close, Mr. Chairman, and that's the possibility that they in fact do not agree. And in that circumstance, okay, that's all I'm trying for. That's all I want. And it would not, if we put a may in instead of shall in 931 and put in Fred's language and the emergency clause, wouldn't we get it?
I went with George's, as may be agreed to by the governing body and representative of the media prior to such executive session.
Well, if it's clear, my problem is it says they shall be admitted on terms they may agree to.
That's right.
Now, if the clear understanding is that if they don't reach terms, no admission.
No question about that in my mind.
Well, Kathleen, what do you think?
That's the way I read it, too. No agreement, no admission.
Okay, well, I would prefer otherwise, but Bob is... Okay. May on 31, then.
That shall be agreed to by the governing body and then the emergency clause.
Is that all?
On
yep.
Sorry, Howard.
Okay, I don't know.
We got to do it, May.
You got
it. That's a rule.